Well, we have an honor today. We are going to have five mothers to speak to us today. I'm not telling you who they are until they're introduced to come up. And for those of you who are speaking, we are not doing this in any particular order, except it's alphabetically by last name. I could do it by first name. That would be fun. That would completely change everything. No, we're not going to do that. So I'm going to call Pam Galbraith to come first, because G comes before everything else that's here. You're welcome. You're prepared. You're good. Oh, she has to find her notes. I sure hope you'd actually got called, those of you who are speaking, so that you don't get surprised when you come up here. But oh well, here we go. This is the first.
I love you. You know, okay. So you may be thinking, oh, Pam, you're in a dress 2 weeks in a row. Have you lost your mind? Yes. Yes, I have. Because you're up here. All right. There was two things regarding mothers that I came across this morning. And I'm going to start with one. And if there's time after the ladies, I will close with the last one. I don't know. That sausage smells really good. God isn't expecting a mother who gets it all right, but a mother who gives it all to him. The answer for fruitful motherhood is first going to God, giving it to God, and then watching God do the growing. When I was growing up, we moved a lot. By the time I was in high school, we were here in this small podunk town, teenage 15-year-old brain, with no mall and no 7-Eleven. I was raised in the city. Thanks, God. I was already thinking that maybe I would get married one day, but I was not having kids. Side note, don't ever say never to God. I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents are best friends. And there was no way I was going to find my best friend here. So when I left, when we graduated, and went back to the Lower Mainland to live with my aunt and uncle, who are also strong Christians and best friends, and the influence continued. All this time, I had already met my best friend, but God knew we both had some life to experience and grow from. When Jim and I finally started dating in 96, I innately knew that it was God orchestrated, and this was going to head to the chapel. I should also add in there that I had had some medical struggles that caused the actual words, "But God, what if I can't have kids?" to exit my mouth. We were married in 97. The babies didn't come right away. I did my schooling for aesthetics, had a miscarriage in the middle of that, and then finally in 2003, we had our little miracle baby girl, Rory Megan, after 52 hours of labor that I would not wish on anyone. God had blessed me, us, with a little bundle of blonde-haired joy. 4 years later, Kenzie Elizabeth completed our family. Now, it's been 23 years of being a mom, Rory, Mama, Kenzie. There have been struggles, so many. As a girl mom, especially to one who is my mini-me in oh so many ways. But God has been faithful through all the tears and the prayers. Both girls are walking with the Lord, which has been our greatest prayer. And now the next stage of this mom's life has begun. Nana. We finally have our little boy. And I tell you, there is no greater joy than watching your daughter step into the role and life calling that she was born to be. Mama. Rory is such an amazing mama. And I'm loving watching her grow and glow as her and Brett raise their kingdom king. God is so good. And our girl cans. God is not done writing her story either, as we see her grow steadily in her relationship with her Heavenly Father. We see her path a bit different than her sister's for the next little bit. But I also see God's growing her mama heart as she begins her career with children. Motherhood is a holy job. We are raising the next generation of kingdom kids. That's a massive responsibility, and we cannot do it without him. Because with our own also inevitably comes their friends, of whom also become ours. If you know me at all, you know I have many. And the love just grows, and the prayer life grows. I'm slowly learning to step back more, and the real benefit of biting my tongue and taking it to the Lord is very much a part of being a mother to adult children. Probably even more so now. But God is good, always. And it reminds me that I'm so thankful for my mom and dad and the foundation they raised Crystalie and I with. I'm also so very thankful for the spiritual mamas I have in this church. Golda, Eunice, Helen, and the Sharons. And for the support they have been for my mom and myself over the years. Just as my tribe, Sandra, Rhonda, Charmin, and Jen, have been mine. Mamas, we are dearly loved by our Father, as are our children. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Pam. That wasn't that hard, was it? No. I'm going to try my hardest to keep my commentaries to a minimum. So with that, I'm going to call Golda, because she's another G. Golda Gudzik, come on up. One of the spiritual mamas of probably everyone here, right? Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. Bless you. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. To each of you, and some might say, well, I'm not a mother, but you know that you have influence in someone's life like a mother. And I want to say thank you to those that have been like mothers to me in this church. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. And I didn't have my mother here, and I came here at 22, 23 years old as a young mother with a baby, but other people stepped in. And then my co-mothers are here. We raised our children together, especially Eunice and Val. How many times did we get together and those guys were gone to work and have all of our kids, you know, whatever, and we'd figure it out one way or the other. So I'm a traditionalist. I love tradition. I'm wearing a carnation this morning. In my back home in Newfoundland, Mother's Day came, and when you get up on Mother's Day, there was flowers, red flowers, for those of us that have a living mother, and a white flower for those that didn't. And it always broke our hearts as little children, because we all wore a red carnation, even to my mother until I was 7, but my dad always wore a white one, because his mom died when he was only 6. But this carnation to me this morning means that I am so very thankful to stand here at my age, and that's not that young, and say that I was talking to my mother this week, and she's doing well. So this is what the carnation means. That's our tradition. We always went to church or Sunday school for a Mother's Day program with our red roses in, most of the time, or red flowers. Most of the time they were plastic. In Newfoundland, you don't find many flowers growing in May month. So I've been thinking. I was thinking before Terrell asked me this. And this Valentine's, I bought my mom a Valentine's card. And it said, "You're the heart of our family." Now, she didn't get it until, I think, April, because I forgot to mail it and I lost it. But I found it and I mailed it to her. And she just said, "Oh, yeah." She loves getting her cards, so it doesn't matter when they come. So it says, "You're the heart of our family." And that has been sitting with me ever since I read that card. And so I'm going to give just a tiny pick this morning of an anatomy and physiology lesson class, right? So we know each one of us, our hearts, what our heart we have, that, and they're very important organs in our body. But our hearts don't produce the blood. It don't make it. It don't oxygenate it. It don't put the oxygen in it. But it does something that only the heart can do. It takes that blood and nutrients and pumps it through our body, right to the very extremities, out to our fingers and toes. And when the heart is not doing that, guess what? We know that we're in trouble. There's something wrong. And so when I thought about that, I thought about mother's role in the home. And a mother's role, I've grown up with Christian mom, Christian grandparents, and I've associated and being part of the Christian community and raised my children in the faith. So I know from that standpoint, I also know from my experiences in life that not every mother has had the same experience. Not every child has had the experience. And sometimes that heart is not working right. Sometimes it has problems. Sometimes it can't. It's blockages. And some of that nutrients, some of those is not flowing. But a mother's role is the home, is the heart. And they supply the daily needs of the family. You know, when you think of mom, I think of love. And 1 Corinthians says, love suffers long. Now, your mothers, if you're mothers, and especially if you've raised, my kids are adults now. But it suffers long. Mother's love don't ever give up on us. You know, no matter what we've done, no matter what our children have done, we don't give up. We suffers long. And we love them. It's not something that, yeah. Nobody could take that out of our families. We love our children and our families, and we've seen that love growing up. In order to have that kind of love, there has to be something that backs it up. And for us, for my family and my parents, it was faith. Not in their own, not in what they could do themselves, not in their own abilities, because many times my parents had difficult times. Their life was hard. My dad was a fisherman. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. But lots of times it was very difficult. But their faith was not in the things that they could see around them. Their faith was in God. And they trusted the Lord for many things. And we saw so many things in our family that God provided for us. When I come to myself as a mom and those that I've talked to around here, I know that you've experienced exactly the same thing. That faith. And in 2 Timothy, verses 3-5, and I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, a greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you also. Paul saw something in Timothy that was passed down from his grandmother and his mother. And many times people say to you, "Oh, I can see your mother in you." I hope when they say that to me, it's my mother's faith that they're seeing and my grandmother's faith that they're seeing. Prayer. How many times as mothers do we fall straight to our knees in prayer. Another part is being pumped through from the heart of the family. Praying always with all prayer and supplications. Yes. In the spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for the saints, for the family. We pray for our families. My mother prayed for us. My dad prayed for us. We knew that. We knew that. We didn't have a doubt. And how many times have my kids phoned me and said, Mom, we need to pray. And I know when they're really hurting, because even Stephen phones me, and well, now it's a little bit different, but he used to phone me and say, Mom, are you been praying for me this week? Yes, Stephen, I've been praying for you this week. Thank you. Sometimes he told me what was going on, sometimes he didn't. But now he phones me to tell me that he's praying for me. So, and prayer is something that really flows through our family, and it gets right into our extremities and keeps the family stable and soft. Provision. A mother provides provision. Now, I always used to read Proverbs 31. I'm not going to read it this morning, but I used to read it with a little bit of condemnation in my spirit. Because I knew, I used to think, I can never be that woman. In Proverbs 31, I can never be that. But then I've thought about it since, and I've looked into it, and I thought, you know what? I am that woman. And I look out over here at you this morning, and I see many Proverbs 31 women. And I know my mother definitely was a Proverbs 31 woman. She provided for us. She made sure we were clothed. And she took care of the household. And she took care of, my dad was a fisherman, but my mom always had to be the one to, now you're not going to understand, ask me later what I'm talking about, but she had to take it off the flake when it was drying and pack it so that it wouldn't rain. My dad would be out in boat. That was the women's job. To do that. That was like that woman in the gate taking care of her husband's business. My mom made the best homemade bread in this world. And my Stephen said to her when he was home last time, he said, Mom, Nanny said, I know the Bible says that man should not live by bread alone, but he hasn't tasted yours. She's very, very pleased about that. She cooked everything. From the beginning, she didn't have to run to the store and grab a package of something. When we had a meal, it was cooked from home. And my mother performed the first miracle I ever saw. And I call it the miracle of the lunches. She packed lunches for 8 children and her husband going away to work. Now, not all at the same time, but most through those years. There's times when as I got older, I would think, I'll pack my own lunch this morning tonight. I didn't see anything that I could make a lunch out of. But we went to school the next morning and we had our lunch boxes full, something in it. We never went to school and opened our lunch box and there was not enough to fill us during the lunch hour. I always said it was the miracle of the lunches. How she did it, I don't know, but there was something there. Compassion flows through the family if you have no compassion. And compassion is kindness. It is generosity. And it's a mother's place, mother in the home that provides that. My dad told us a story, and he used to always make us cry on Mother's Day. He said he remembers one other thing from his mom. And he was 6 and started school for the first day. Came home, he said, and he had a cap that used to fasten underneath his chin. And she bent down, and she said, how was school today, my boy? And she undid the cap for him and listened to him. Now, she died shortly after that, and he has no more those kind of memories, but he has a memory of his mom's compassion. And as Colossians chapter 3 and 12 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, the other three I've got come together here. It's called guidance, patience, and wisdom. As a mother, we have to be all those things, right? We have to provide guidance, not always what they want to hear. Patience was the one I had a hard time learning. And wisdom, the Bible says, if you don't know where to get it, you know where to come to. If you don't have it, you know where to come to get it, right? James 1 and chapter 4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, then a mask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. Come to God for that wisdom and guidance. Now, what my mother and your mother had to pass on for wisdom and guidance was completely different from what mothers today are passing on. What mothers today have to pass on is different from what I had to pass on, because we all live in different times of society, and therefore our needs, our guidance, and our patience has to be with different things. And we certainly need wisdom that we didn't learn. We didn't learn it. So we have to come to God for that wisdom. And the biggest thing I see as a mom that flows through our hearts, through our heart, into our family, is encouragement. That encouragement that says, you did well. It's okay, I know you will do well. And the encouragement that says, you can accomplish whatever you need to accomplish. My parents sometimes thought I was a bit crazy. They did not know exactly how to respond to me when I told them that I was leaving Newfoundland. I had applied to leave Newfoundland and go to the Northwest Territories, and Dad said, I don't even know where it is. I don't know where it is. So we got a map and we looked it up. My mom would cry when I talk about it for a while, but then they understood. They realized that they couldn't stand in my way, because God was calling me there, and their job was to encourage me through it. And they did for the whole time. And mom still does. She still encourages us. And encouragement, therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up, as indeed you are doing. And that's what I'm going to say to the mothers here today. I'll repeat that. Therefore, encourage one another. Build up each other, as indeed you are doing. And nothing gives me greater pleasure than to see mothers supporting each other, and to see us raising our kids together as family and community. And, you know, when you mentioned this morning about Jesus being left behind, community was involved. They thought he was with community, right? Clint, you know about that, don't you? Eh? And God puts community, he puts each of us in each place to be helping each other. Thank God today for mothers and grandmothers and community members who have been in our lives and have encouraged us through those years. God bless you.
Thank you, Golda. I'm sure there's a few stories in this church about people who were left behind by their family, and it was the communities that supported it, right? Anyhow, we won't go into those stories. I do have the privilege. My mom is still alive, and she calls me every Sunday just before I preach so that she can pray with me to encourage me in that way. So I'm very thankful for that. And without further ado, we go from G to N. Rhonda Nelson is going to, because N comes right after G. So, yeah, something like that.
Good morning. I feel like Golda said everything I needed to say. But when Terrell asked me to speak, I've spent a long time praying about this. Because I can honestly say this morning, I am so thankful I have a mom. And this took me a long time to be able to say this, because I had a different fantasy and idea of what a mom and a daughter's relationship was supposed to be like. And so I took it to God for a long time, for about 51 years. And then he showed me that my mom wasn't a problem. It was me. It was how I looked at things and how I had I was deceived in a way of how we are to look at parents. We come up in a generation where kids think we know more than our parents do. I'm going to tell you, you don't. You really don't. They might not speak like you or do things like you, but they really do have wisdom. They have so much wisdom. So I just want to say what an honor it is I still have a mom, because I get to talk to her and I get to honor her, in which even God is teaching me how to do, because I mean, every family looks different. Every household is different. And I finally am walking in a freedom I've never had, because I get to see, I choose to see the blessings she has been in my life. And I think it's more so now that I'm a grandma and I have grandkids, I get to see my kids are amazing. They're great with their kids. But my daughter we have a 9-month-old grandson, and I think she forgot that I have a life. I just literally, I do things and I'm just like, she's like, Mom, I need you. And I'm like, absolutely. And she calls me, Mom, I need you. Absolutely. And I'm like, I did this to my mom, I'm sure. I'm thinking, she's old. She don't have nothing to do. She just come and take care of my kids when I need her to. And I can say that one time I went for coffee with the girls and I had no rush to get home to my kids because my mom was with them. And so I just want to say how thankful I am to have a mom. And if you have a mom still, you know what? Call them, bless them, take your time to be with them. And that was just a little bit of what I was going to say. Okay. But when Golda was speaking, I have to wear my glasses because I can't see. But in Titus 2, it talks about, I'm just going to read it for you. But as for you, speak the things what are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chastened, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I just want to say that as mothers, it gets really lonely, especially if you're a new mom and you got little kids. It's hard because you think that you're alone. You're not. If you have little kids, and most of us maybe are more grandparents here, we're, like Golda said, we're a village. This is why we have a body of Christ. This is why we need to come together. The older ladies help the younger ladies. The moms help the young moms. I met a young mom years ago, and Charmin and Pam and I and Arlene Pearson would get together and we would have coffee with her. Her name was Sonia. And she was here for 6 years before anybody invited her into their group. She was so alone and she was so lonely. And so we invited her and we had a coffee date with her every Thursday. Her and her kids would come over and they would spend all day. And she you know what? She was just like, thank you, because she was so alone and needed us. And her parents weren't here and she was here by herself with her husband and kids. But we have to remember that we are the body of Christ. We are to help each other. We are here to lend the helping hand. We are here to be to each other, to be God and to help and to lift each other up. You know what? I've had a crazy kid. I would say to my friend, my kid would never. My son did everything. Everything you can imagine, we pretty much went through with him. And what a blessing he is today. I am so grateful that I have my children. First of all, I'm grateful that I have my husband. And then I have my children because I get to be a mom. I got to be a home mom for most of my entire life. I got to be a mom. And now I had the two older ones, and then we had Aubrey, which is, she's sort of like the stay-at-home grandkid. Because all the stuff we made mistakes before with the older ones, pretty much doing the same thing, but in a better way. And so we are really just, and it's just so much, It's what a blessing. It was God honoring even me and my husband with another child, because we thought we were going to have two, and she was our surprise, and it's so good. It's so good. It keeps us young. We don't know nothing about what's happening. Our kids have to teach us a lot of things. And so I am thankful that I have children. I think I am the most, when I think of Mother's Day, I think of my children. I think of how awesome I get to be their mom, and that they get to be greater than me. They're going to learn, and they're going to teach their children greater things. They're going to see more and know more and do more. But I pray that they're going to do that in Jesus as godly men and women, because there's no hope if we don't have someone to look to and some help. I mean, we have each other, but the greatest help is God. I think of Corey kind of was talking about Mary. I think when the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child and he's going to be the savior of the world." I would have thought, "Who's going to raise him?" And what would you have thought if the angel came and said, "God is coming down and you're going to raise him"? I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I'm unqualified." And she probably was like, and she wasn't. She just, you know what she said? "So be it unto me, Lord." She was so obedient. She was just ready for it. And I think, though, if he would have said, "I'm going to come down as a baby and you're going to take care of me," she would have probably said no. Probably not, because he knew her heart. But I just want you to know that when you're raising kids, it's not a job. It's a privilege. And if you look at it as a privilege, it's so much easier. And as they get older, things change. But I just want you to remember that you have a village. I look at these, Liz's beautiful family, her girls, and I just think, what a blessing they are. What a blessing they are to you. What a blessing that you guys came with your mom. You guys might think that's a little thing. If you look at her, she's glowing. She is beautiful. And you know what? You guys are the life. Our children are like, they're life for us. We continue for them. We work for you guys. We learn what God has to say to us so we can honor God, but we can honor you. And then you can teach your children to honor God and your parents and themselves. Because it really is important that we be the example. I want my children to honor me and love me for all my life. So I have to be the example, step back and do that for my mom, do that for my children. And then, because you know what? Kids learn by example. Kids are learning by watching. They could watch a movie with no sound at all, and they know, you know, they got it going on. They know what's happening. They know. You don't have to tell kids what's going on. They know. Most of the time they're wrong. But they, you know what I mean? Like, so you know what? Women, please, if you got some young women in your life, and you know what? I pray for mothers. But I pray not just for mother. There's the mother spirit too, because there's so many women that don't have their own children that have mothered. There's so many mothers that have mothered me that wasn't my biological mother. And if you can, and you see someone who is struggling or need help, you might be the wisdom in her life. You might have a word for her if you just edify her, just lift her up, praise her. If she needs help, help her. If she needs to be corrected, in love will get you so much more. Take your time and help each other. And you know what? That's the whole body of Christ. That's what it means to be the body, is to help each other. And not just to see God, but to act like God and to actually watch for him so you can be Jesus to the people around you, because they need you. They're going to respond more to love and to patience and kindness and wisdom, like Golda was saying, than to someone screaming down, telling them what they've done wrong and how terrible they are. Because you know what? Every family is different. Every situation is different. And if we can come in and walk in love and show something that your wisdom, because I mean, you're not going to come to me for baking tips or cooking because I don't like it at all. In fact, I made supper for me and Alb the other night and we had to have ice cream afterwards to get the taste out of our mouth. It was just not fun. So, you know, I would go to Pam or somebody for baking. I wouldn't come to me. And I had actually Eunice told, because I would love to sew, and she offered, you know, bring Aub and I'll teach her to sew. And you know what? There's just, that's what we're about. That is what we should be about. So I just want to honor you ladies. I honor you in all that you do, because it's not easy, but it's not hard without God. And it's a joy because you know what? Our prize, our treasure is our children. That's our prize. At the end, what's left? It's the love of our family. So, and the faith that you've brought them up so that you know that when they're old enough, they are going to walk with God. You might be the prayer warrior in your family, which is the way it's supposed to be. But it's going to be, they're going to be the prayer warriors for their children. They're going to stand for their children. And it's going to be how you teach them and how they watch you behave so that they can be who God has called them to be. The end. Amen.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Oh, I did have verses. I forgot to look at them.
What? Goodness sakes. Preaching without the Bible, what is that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, next we're heading up GNS. So we have Val Scamhorn coming up. Yeah. You sighed just like Pam did when I said she was first. So did you want to be first? I'll change that for next time, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome.
Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Am I nervous? Yes, I am. Me as a child, of any woman in the Bible, who can you relate to? Ruth, Naomi, Mary, Martha, Deborah, Esther, and whoever the Lord brings to your mind. Growing up, I knew children were to be seen and not heard. Never show your emotions, especially sad or when you're hurt. We were taught to be honest, well-mannered, and have good work ethics. To the point, I can only remember a few times that we had fun. I specifically remember one Saturday afternoon, Mom and her curlers went out to Dinosaur Park for a picnic. It didn't happen very often. I am number 9 of 11 children, raised in a very religious home with an alcoholic father who mostly worked away from home in the summer. My mom was very strict, routine, no nonsense, do as you're told or you'd be picking up your head in the corner. Therefore, I never really liked my mom as a child. She was very bossy and very controlling. Nurturing was only there when we were very sick. As our mother taught, cleanliness was a high priority. Older siblings were appointed to a younger child to care for. I remember one time when I had German measles, I was shut in the bedroom across from the kitchen. No one was allowed in or to open the door as I needed to be in complete darkness. Yet through that, I felt very special and thought, maybe she really does love me. Me as a mother, not only was I leaving my family 12 hours away, I was getting married to a man outside of the church I was raised in. My mother was very vocal about that, not giving me her blessing or refused to attend our wedding. God's intent was that she was to attend our wedding, and that was a surprise to us. The celebration continued the day after our wedding. where I was baptized at family camp, which was totally life-changing. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we may live a new life. Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through our faith, through your faith and in the power of God who raised him from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, as a young adult getting married, we thought we would have our children right away. We were broke and figured we would remain broke while we were raising our children. So we thought we would have two children close together, then at school age have two more. Once again, God's plan was totally different. That's when I realized God must have a good sense of humor. I never thought of myself being much mother material, but now I am, now with a 17-month-old and with 2 weeks' notice, not one baby coming, but two. Most people would look for help and support from their family, but mine was 12 hours away. Wayne's family also had small children, young families of their own. Myrna Cameron would come 3 hours a week, and sister-in-law Char, before she was married into the family, would come off the school bus and help me. Kathy was always there by phone to help until our children were older. Then when Wayne was working away, we practically moved in with Kathy. She became my self-appointed support system. Titus 2, 3, and 4. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved by much wine, teaching what is good. They can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. Me, learning from mothers. Mature women in our church were tremendously influential in my learning how to be more godly woman. Not that I am anywhere near perfect, because God is still working in me. My church family became like my own family. I would participate in teaching Sunday school, ladies' meetings, helped with children's ministries outside girls and teens. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Clearly, I had much to learn, from walking in myself to learning to walk in the way God would have me walk. I asked my sisters and friends, what woman in the Bible do I resemble? Most said Martha, because I'm a doer. As a mature woman, the women in the Bible I resemble is changing, because my relationship with the Lord is also growing. Matthew 5:16, let your life shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. My desire for celebrating Mother's Day is to bless all women. Blessings to you as a mother. Blessings to you grieving the loss of your mother. Blessings to you who are unable to be a mother. Blessings to you who mother the motherless. Blessings to you who will be a mother one day. And blessings from our Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Val. Wow. I hope you've all enjoyed this so far. We have one more, the headliner, the marquee event. I don't know what else to say. Eloise, you might not know her well. You know, come on, you have a ways to go. Well, you might not know her very well, but this is Eloise Stickling. They moved in, what, 2 years ago? 2 years ago. And here she is, and you'll get to know her better now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello. Just want to say you all look beautiful. And happy Mother's Day. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to keep it sweet and short because I can sense that the little ones are eager to go outside and play. So let's do it. Since you don't know me very well, I've got a family. I'm the proud mom of these three beautiful boys. For the last 4 years, all my children were in South Africa. But 2 weeks ago, I finally got to have my baby back after 4 years. And he's sitting there in the back. So there's Adrian. And very, very soon, you're going to get to meet all the others. So my son got married last year to a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her name is Jana. And you will also meet her soon. So over the weekend, my mother-in-law, we've got a family chat group, and she shared this very beautiful message. And I told her that I'm going to share it with the church today. And it relates very much to this experience over here. So it's like a little poem, and it goes like this. I gave away being the one he hugs and kisses. I gave away being the one he looks for in the crowd. I gave away being the first person he turns to when things get tough. I gave away being the one he makes laugh in the middle of the day. I gave away being his number one goal. I gave away a piece of my heart. I gave away my son. Deep down, I know he will always love me, but I also know he loves her more. He loves her more than his mama, and that's okay. That's how I knew he found the one. But isn't that what we want? We want them to marry a girl who they will put first, even if it means we become second as mamas. So, when I was pregnant with my second child, my eldest son had a little CD with Afrikaans gospel songs in it. And it was about this lady who was desperately wanting to have a child. So when Terrell asked me to do this message, I was like, Terrell, I'm going to kill you. And Terrell also got me to be a bus driver. So you know what? He's a man of influence. So here it goes. My message is as such. Today, I want to speak about a mother in the Bible whose prayer changed history. Her name is Hannah. Hannah desperately wanted a child. The Bible tells us that she prayed with deep sorrow and longing. In simple words, her heart cried out, "O Lord, I long for a child." For a long time, Hannah did not understand why God was making her wait, but she continued praying, trusting and believing. And eventually, God answered her prayer. God gave her a son, Samuel. Now at first, it may have looked like God was simply answering Hannah's personal prayer, giving a mother the child she longed for, but God was doing far more than Hannah could ever imagine. He gave her Samuel, and Samuel did not only become her son, he became the one of the greatest prophets in Israel. He became a man who listened to God, a man who led a nation. And later, Samuel was the one God chose to anoint David as king. And through David's family line, generations later, came Jesus Christ. So imagine that. A mother prayed for one little child. But God used that child to bless nations and generations. And I think there's a beautiful lesson in that for all mothers. And really, for all of us today. Sometimes when we pray, we think only about what we are asking for right now. But God often sees much further than we do. When God answers prayers, He doesn't only give us what we want. He can use those answers to bless the world in ways that we could never imagine. The children we pray for today may become the leaders, encouragers, teachers, healers, and servants of God, who He uses tomorrow. Mothers may never fully see the impact of their love, prayers, sacrifices, and faithfulness. But Hannah's story reminds us that God sees it. One praying mother changed history. So today, on Mother's Day, we honor mothers who pray, who hope, who sacrifice, who keep believing, even in difficult seasons. And we thank God for the powerful influence a mother can have, not only in her own family, but for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Eloise. Wow, the prayers of a mother, right? I think every mother who has ever seen their child get to adulthood has never known where they would be. And then you just think to the prayers that you've prayed for all of them. And it's just, I'm amazed at where my daughters are. And then knowing that they're going to even go further, it just blows my mind. But I'm sure every parent has had that happen. Pam, do you want to come up and do your closing thing that you had said you were going to do?
All right. So the other one I found was, it's attributed to, well, I found it on Franklin Graham's page. It's called Mother's Day. At the dawn of time, God needed someone He could trust to love His precious children, and so God made a mother. God said, "Life will often be harsh, so I need someone with a gentle touch, someone who can brush a tear from a downy cheek of a newborn and gauge a child's temperature without a thermometer. I need someone who has a special knack for soothing, who can kiss away pain and soften blows. Someone who will hold her child's hand firmly until she forces herself to release it, tearfully, on the first day of school. And so God made a mother. I need someone who will care enough to gather the daffodils and put them in a vase so everybody in their house can enjoy the first blooms of spring. I need someone who will care enough to rummage through the mismatched sock pile in hopes of finding a match. Or not, Kenzie. Someone who will make birthdays extra special, sing silly songs with her toddlers in the car, and who actually wants to go on a school field trip to the insect museum just to experience it with her child. God thought, I need someone who will play Christmas carols on the piano, not me, Jen. Someone who will decorate gingerbread houses with the kids and wrap gifts and deck the halls for Christmas. For nothing in all my creation will be able to make Christmas as special as a mother will. And so God made a mother. I'll make someone who can organize play dates, piano lessons, and the pantry. Don't look at mine. Someone who can find things like a lost football cleat, Dad's keys, and Bun Bun, her little girl's favorite stuffed bunny. I need someone to gather a busy family around the dinner table for chicken soup, cornbread, and sharing life together. I need someone who can unload the dishwasher, pack lunches, call out spelling words, and make coffee while bouncing a baby on her hip. Someone who will carry an array of toys, snacks, and essentials in her heavy purse and never complain. I need someone to help with the endless school projects, organize the football banquet, and say I'm proud of you, even when her child fails. I need someone who is willing to keep going, even when she thinks she has no strength left. Someone who will strive to love her kids and to love their father even more. And so God made a mother. God said, I need someone who believes, someone who will trust that I have a good plan for her and her children, even when she can't see it. Someone who will pray for her family daily, for sadly, few people will. I need someone who will share my words and encourage her children to believe in me because I am the source of life. And so God made a mother. I'll place a second pair of eyes in the back of a mother's head, God thought. I'll give her bionic ears and grant her the generous portion of laughter and tears, for she will need them both. Sometimes she'll feel like she doesn't have what it takes. There will be days when she is overcome with worry, pain, or failure. But when the need arises, she'll be there. And while motherhood will be difficult, she'll come to embrace it with all of her heart. Yes, I need someone who will love my children like I do, God must have said. So I'll give each mother a heart the size of Texas. And if she'll let me, I'll fill it with my special forever kind of love, a love that resembles my own. Once I put a precious baby in her arms, she will never be the same. One day her children will grow and move on. But she never will. A mother will fight and pray for and sacrifice for her children for as long as she lives. And so God made a mother.
Thank you, Pam. Well, I've been smelling that sausage and bacon since just before the end of the songs, and I know that Eloise made mention of the kids that were making noise, but I don't know if that was kids or people's stomachs. I'm not sure which one it was, so we're going to have a quick word of prayer, and then we will dismiss. So, Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all these stories and the words that we have heard that have come from you. And, Lord, I pray that we will be blessed because of what we've heard today. And God, I pray a blessing upon the fellowship and the food that's downstairs. And I pray especially for all of our mothers, for all that they have done for each one of us. And may you get all the glory and praise today. We honor you as we honor them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you so richly. If you didn't hear...